The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn trees. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn trees. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Richard coming to you from the Radio Ranch. Been a beautiful day, blustery day, but it's still been a beautiful day here. And I don't think we got above freezing, but that's okay. It was cold today. Today, March 16th, 2023. Hey, St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow. Gotta like that. Got a few current events I want to talk to you about tonight, and want to lead off with one, but we're going to start out with a word of prayer. The headlines today, just, well, let's pray. Well, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you most of all, Lord, for the work that you did to save us, to redeem your people, Lord, to buy us back. We who had been sold for nothing, who, Lord, did know our left hand from our right. And we thank you for the redeeming grace that you put upon us, Lord, for going to the cross and bearing the shame that we were due, and bearing the grief and the burden and the pain that was due us. And we thank you for taking that, because we could not. And doing it for the joy set before you, and because you love your people. And Lord, we know you do not change. You are the same yesterday, today, yea, tomorrow. And we thank you for that. Thank you. Guide and direct my thoughts and words this evening, Lord. I thank you for your blessings on this day and Lord, on this lifetime. What a great ride this has been, Lord. And we look forward to continuing it. And I thank you for that. And I praise you for it. And I pray for your blessings on this broadcast tonight, Lord, that as we talk tonight in fellowship, that it would glorify you and be an encouragement to your people and a warning to the wicked, Lord, a warning to the wicked. We're told to do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the remnant, Lord, that pray for us, that support us, that allow us to do this very thing, to keep the true gospel and the true gospel message and the true Bible story going out from sea to shining sea, Lord, and all over the world. And we thank you for them and pray your blessings your promise of Malachi 3, Lord, upon all those that help us, that support us, that allow us to be about your business. And we thank you for them and pray your blessings on them. We glorify you in this and all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I tell you, folks, I'm feeling like we are over by the Oaks of Mamre. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. The Oaks of Mamre. Do you remember that from Genesis 18? Genesis 18. Because that is where the Lord appeared to Abraham. By the Oaks of Mamre. While he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, we don't have the heat of the day today, no. No, had snow on the way to town. Had a snow shower on the way home. Nothing snowing here, just a little bit there. So we're not here in the heat of the day. No, we're in the cool of the end of winter. The end of winter, the end of the solar year of 2022. And but the times that we're in are just like when Abraham was there by the Oaks of Mamre. Okay? Because when he lifted up his eyes, it says he looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw him, he recognized and he said, Lord, my Lord, if I found favor in your sight, please don't pass by. Let me provide for you. And you know the story, you should. And when you go on, it's God blessing Sarah and Abraham, that he would be a father of many nations, that through him God's blessings would flow, and through his people God's blessings would flow to the whole world. And, well, we've seen a lot of that in our lifetime. Oh, the all you hear in the society today is the wicked white European. But if it weren't for them, if it weren't for us, where would the rest of the people be in the world? Still in the Stone Age, I tell you. That's where Japan would be. That's where China would be. That's where probably 80%, 60% of Africa would be. That's where South America would be. Still in the Stone Age. It's just the way it is. But let's read on. So I didn't want to talk about don't have time to read too much about the promise to Sarah. Because Sarah laughed, right? Right? God said, you'll have a child. And this is how it's going to be. She laughed at him. And because that's what we do sometimes. We laugh instead of crying. Sometimes when God's blessings are promised to us, we sometimes just laugh. How in the world could that happen? And I think that's what Sarah did. Yeah, I'm going to have a child, right? Okay, sure. Sure. Shall I indeed bear a child when I'm so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? He says, at the appointed time, I'll return, and you'll have a son. Well, so that blessing comes, and then, let's take a look. Then verse 16, it says, then the men, and this is Genesis 18, then the men rose up from there and looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. A mighty nation. A populous nation. Because you know what God was going down to Sodom to see? Let me tell you, I think I know. He had seen this headline that you can see today if you open up Fox News. Dr. Rachel Levine, this cross-dressing, transgender, demonic piece of I don't even know what, says changing kids' genders will soon be fully embraced. Wheels will turn on this, it says. And that the gender-affirming care for minors has the highest support for the Biden administration. See, it's like Ecclesiastes. What has happened, happens again. And what's happening today, it's happened before. And I think that there was somebody in that time, because the Lord said, Should I hide from Abram what I'm about to do? Verse 19, he says, I've chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about. And the Lord said, Abraham, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me. And if not, I will know. This assistant secretary for health of the U.S. Department of Health, this Rachel Levine, this thing, promised that medically changing kids' genders will soon be normalized. Gender-affirming care for minors has the highest support of the Biden administration. But I'm a positive and optimistic person, and I choose to be positive, optimistic, and I think that the wheels will turn on this, it said. Yeah? Well, let me read to you from the Word of God, because in verse 22, they go down. In verse 23, Abraham says, God, Lord, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there's 50 righteous. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? In verse 26, the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare the whole place. And you know the story. They knock it on down. Abraham, the gall of him, right? The nerve, the guts to argue with God. He had a heart for the people. He knew there was wickedness there. And then it gets down to verse 32. Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on account of the 10. And as soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed. And Abraham returned to his place. And I think Abraham was brokenhearted because he knew that God was a gracious God, that God was long-suffering, that God knew what was going on, but he was just going to go down just to make double dog sure. And that's what he did. And he stopped to give a blessing to Abraham and to Sarah. And to all of us, me and you, because that's where we come from. And I think Abraham was brokenhearted. And so when you read chapter 19, the doom of Sodom. You read through it, the filth that was there. And when you read these headlines, oh my gosh, if it doesn't break your heart, if it doesn't just give you a knot in your stomach, oh God! And we know there's none righteous here apart from Christ. And these enemies that Jesus Christ spoke of, that said that will not have Jesus Christ rule and reign over them, bring them here and slay them at his feet. That is what the Word of God says. There's still, thankfully, some that are speaking out against this. There are. The Pro-Life Caucus, the Protect Children's Innocence Act, this one doctor here at the University of Washington showing that it's just terrible for children, even psychologically. I mean, it just serious concerns about puberty blockers and hormone blockers and sex transition surgeries and, oh God, forgive us. But let me tell you what's coming, okay? Because I feel like I'm at the Oaks of Mamre. I do. And we are told throughout this word to be watchmen on the wall. And God sent his angels down there, his messengers down there to warn them. And they laughed at him, tried to do horrible things. Verse 23. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. Now, he had saved Lot. Lot and his family, they were hightailing it out of there, right? But even in Lot and his family, 26, but Lot's wife from behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt. She died like the rest of them. And our God is long-suffering. We are to be long-suffering. Our God desires repentance and returning to him. And we should desire repentance and returning to him. If you know of anybody caught up in this filth, I do hope you're praying for him. Not praying for him to get the reign of Sodom and Gomorrah, but praying for him to be like Lot and to leave, to turn away from it, to be like the prodigal son that came to his senses and repented and returned to his father. I hope you have a list, because most of us know prodigals. Some of us have them in our families. I hope you have a list. I challenge you, remnant, as we are, guess what? We are there. We are at the Oaks of Mamre. And the filth of Sodom and Gomorrah, the filth of this nation has come before the Lord God Almighty. And we've heard it said, and the time draws near, that if God doesn't bring his wrath on this filth, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, does anybody think God, the God of the Bible, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit is going to apologize? That's the same God that when we read in Isaiah, let's flip over there, Isaiah 53. I mentioned it last night. Let's turn to it. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, who was oppressed and afflicted and crushed for our well-being and pierced for our transgressions. Verse 10, it says, but the Lord God was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. And Jesus Christ did that. He rendered himself as a guilt offering. And it pleased God to crush him. Because his word had to come true. It had to come to pass. And it will. The word, this same word tells us Jesus Christ will return again. And when he does, it will not be as a babe in the manger of the virgin bride, of the virgin mom, and to save the world from its sins. That ain't how he's coming back, folks. No, he's coming back. Read the end of the story. He's coming back on a white horse with his name on his thigh and a flaming sword to rule with a rod of iron to render recompense to all, to hold all accountable for every word and every deed that they've done. So I tell you, whatever you are, Levine, I don't know what you are. I don't know what you claim to be. But you better repent. Because what you're pushing and promoting is sin. It is against God's law. It is transgression of the law. And you will pay for that. You will face judgment for that. There is just no doubt about it. There's no escaping it. I wasn't planning on talking about this tonight, folks. I really wasn't. But I saw this headline, and It is repent or perish for me and you and the president and everybody in between. It just is. It is that way. And we are seeing this system. They're pushing it hard and hard and trying as hard as they can to make it as filthy as they can. But we are seeing it fall. And I'm glad. I am. Well, let's go to the phone lines. I see the phone line. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hey, brother.
Oh, hey, Patrick. How are you?
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
Great.
Well, yeah, we got some weather coming in, so, you know, it's still March.
Oh, yeah. It's still winter, at least through the weekend, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and heard from Terry up in New York. He said they were getting feet. So it's going out with a bang in some places. I think we're going to be pretty mild over the, you know, in the teens maybe. We'll get back above freezing about the new year, Monday, Tuesday, something like that. So.
Sure. Yeah, I think it was warmer out this morning, early this morning than it is now. So.
Yeah, we cooled off.
I haven't checked on the weather. Yeah, it is. It's about 20 plus degrees colder now than it was this morning.
Wow.
The water was running down the rain gutters, melting off the roof early this morning about 5 o'clock, and now it's everything's frozen.
Amen. Well, Patrick, so. It's good to hear from you. Are you how you doing? You kind of had a little health scare here your last trip. Did that kind of?
Oh yeah.
That you're over all that?
You know. A little dehydration, you know. I went to California at a funeral, you know, it's dry out there, and you know, everything that goes on with a funeral and flying. Don't
sure.
like to fly. It's not any fun to fly anymore, and you know, and just kind of went into AFib the day I was supposed to fly out, and had to delay my flight, but you know, I just kind of waited on the Lord, and he got me through it. So,
well, good. Praise the Lord. I know you had kind of let us know when you got back that things were better, and just glad to hear that they're still that way. Absolutely.
Yeah, things are good. Work is good. So, yeah, life is good.
Good.
Despite what the headlines say.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you'd sent me that note about the, you know, the banking system this past week, and you know, it is just things that we're seeing, happening, and it goes all the way back. Friday, you sent me, and I saw it. I shared with some other people the quote from Jane Fonda, the pro-abortion activist, suggesting, saying that, well, you know, when I think about supporting abortion, I just think about murdering those pro-lifers. And
exactly.
And you know, if I were to say that, you'd have the sheriff's deputies would be here in an hour, if not less.
Yeah.
And so, but when I see this, it is we're coming down to the end of their age. We're coming down to the end of this Babylonian age, and they are getting bolder and bolder. You know, Patrick, I started out this piece of filth, transgender, whatever, up in the military assistant something. I don't know what it is. You know, pushing and promising that, changing child's gender will just become the norm here pretty quick. And I don't agree with it. It's like, no, it won't. You might plan on it being that way, and that's what it is. They're not. It's like they've pulled all the stops. They just go full bore at what they just throw out anything they can, you know. Just like this with Jane Fonda. You know, she's a communist, sorry sack of anti-American female dog, if there ever was one, always has been, and it just. It's what they do. They do, and I got a Judeo-Christian with this the other day. You know, I told them, I said, these people are doing just what they're supposed to do. They're doing the desires of their father, who was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And I think it struck a spark. You know, it was almost like an acknowledgement. And it was encouraging to me, but it's what they do. It's what they do. Anyway. And then the latest, what you sent me with the banking, you know, the two massive banks here in the country have failed. I think several over in some European countries as well. I haven't had a chance to really look into it, but it's not just this one little California Silicon Bank, I don't believe.
No, I was looking up. There was another bank, I do believe it's in California, First Republic Bank, and I was just looking at their stock. You know, their stock went in the old toilet here back on the 13th. You know, lost about 60-80% of its value. And then a bunch of other banks got together and they deposited a whole bunch of money. Of course, their stock went up, it more than doubled. Well, you know that these guys bought all this stock when it hit rock bottom, and they just basically doubled their money in one day.
Right.
That's how that whole system works. They know when it's going to fall because they're in charge of it.
Sure, they make it fall. They make it fall.
That's right.
And that was, I saw on that, the reports coming out on that Silicon Bank that the CEO sold like over $4 million worth of stock the week before it crashed. Yep. The investors were selling off, and hours before it all got announced, everybody got like a quadruple bonus, everybody in the company. And so, you know, if you're unscrupulous and they tell you that it's coming, hey, listen, got a surprise for you on Tuesday afternoon, but, you know, don't be telling nobody. Don't talk to anybody about it. And I know we've had some issues and, it's been computer glitches, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, and they give them these big bonuses and then it's all shut down. They got their money, you know. What about Grandpa Jones that you know, that worked on the railroad all his life and had his retirement in there. And the other people, well, sorry, bud. You know, get in line.
Yep. You know, and then the people ran down to the bank to get their money out. And what they do, they locked the doors. And I also heard that one of the tellers called the police, and the police showed up.
Yeah, I haven't seen all of it. I don't doubt it. It just is, you know, these things happen, and so many of our people just shake their head. It's like, I just can't imagine that. Why? How could that happen? How could that happen? And, you know, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if you don't know how things happen, you will be destroyed. It is as simple as that. But the good news is that as these things happen, it is, I really believe, it is signs, it is birth pangs of Babylon falling. These banks failing, they're not the first, and they won't be the last of these signs of this ungodly, antichrist, sin-loving, Christ-hating system going down. Going down.
Yep, Babylon's falling, and you know, remnant. We should not be overly too concerned about it. You know,
right.
You know, it's the time for their destruction is near, and our redemption.
It is. So, it is. And you know, the word tells us, Patrick. It comes to mind as well that, you know, that that when we are not afraid of them, when what they do does not scare us and doesn't cause us to be fearful anymore, That's a sign in itself. It's a sign of destruction for them and salvation for us. And you know, so many people, as they, just like this regenerative agriculture movement, and so many people, you know, some people have been doing gardens forever. Some have just gotten back into it over the last few years, and chickens and cows. And I've got neighbors up the road that escaped from California, moved out of California, and they've got some pregnant, like four pregnant cows, and a steer that we're splitting with them. We're fixing to butcher it this week. And so I've been working with them they've been here right out of year kind of rural living and doing these things. And, they even know. They know. Now, they're not part of the ministry. They're long-haired, tattooed, but family people. And, but they saw the handwriting on the wall. They saw, I got to get out of California. And they're not the kind that come here and then want to California or Wyoming. Not at all. But even them, and I think they're very symbolic of so many people, that they see that it's just a mess out there. And there's so many that I think that over time, that as they do see they can grow a garden, and they see that it's not too big of a deal to have 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 or 24 or 36 chickens. It's not impossible. Or even to have a milk cow if you want, or to support your neighbor down the road that has one. When they do these things, and now I'm talking about the remnant, you get out of your comfort zone a little bit, and you see that even if this fails, hey, I can get water here, and I can get food there, and those type things, even just in the physical, I think that it is almost a crutch to where the people aren't as fearful of the enemy. Does that make sense, Patrick?
Yeah, it does. Around where I live here now, it's not as much agriculture as it was just a few years ago. But the farmers markets, have really boomed in the last few years, because there is people around here that still have three, four, five acres of land, and they're growing a lot of stuff on that little spot.
Sure.
I think you talked about it, that there was somebody that were growing corn, but they were also growing corn in their backyard, and they were making more money off the sweet corn that they were growing in the backyard than they were
Yes.
with the corn out in the field.
Yes. I think I got the story right. Yeah, a farmer in Iowa, 600 acres, planting it and it going to the whatever you call it, the silo or the co-op or that they always do, And it been in the family for years, and always did the 600 acres, still worked in town, but did a 5-acre garden farm, behind the house, kitchen farm, whatever, 5 acres of sweet corn, and made more money off 5 acres of sweet corn, selling it on the roadside and at farmers markets than on that 600 acres of corn. And so, Patrick, when you see these smaller places, see, that's better for the people. It is.
Sure.
I mean, Zach was talking about, the family farm and passing it on and all that just a few weeks ago. And if you can do that, fantastic. A lot of people can't. But like you're saying, the people are using what they've got. 3 acres, 5 acres, doing this, doing that, eggs. We cut hay here at the ranch. We do small squares. Been awful dry the last couple of years, really too dry to run cattle out here. We're hopefully coming out of a 5-year drought, but we have small square bales, and we have some for sale, and I delivered some to a lady the other day, and of course she paid for them, and then she was like, oh, would you like some eggs? And she said, "No, I'm not going to sell them to you." She said, "This year I'm just giving them away." And gave us some eggs, a dozen eggs. And so you have, and you know, this lady just, I mean, has some ducks and chickens and geese and just in a little fenced in area, not, you could barely park two vehicles that where she's got fenced in. And she had a farmyard of animals. And so people are seeing that. And I think, and I mention all this, Patrick, because I think it's a step. It's part, I think, of the awakening. You know, some of us, I mean, we're to the point that we know that if God's got to provide us water from the rock and manna, that he can and will do that. He he's done it before he can. But not everybody's at that point, you know. So many are, I think the first step is, you know, I got to get prepared. I've got to be ready. And then when people get to that point, they're not as fearful of the enemy. They're not as fearful of that bank crash. They're not as fearful of, you know, the supply chain issues. They're not as fearful of, you know, when there's no eggs in the grocery store. And I think that I'm seeing that. I think we've been seeing that the last couple of years. And it's like part of the sign that scripture that I talked about is, you know, when God's people are not fearful of the enemy, it's a sign of destruction for the enemy. And we're seeing that sign.
Yes, we are. You know, our company, you know, we talk about the banking and the cashless society and, you know, the paperless, you know, this and that. Our company learned a hard lesson last Saturday. We have all our blueprints and orders, and that's all on the cloud and this and that. And we should keep all our blueprints in a document room, and then when you needed them, you just went in there and printed them out. Well, we got attacked, but we got a ransomware attack, and we lost access to all our stuff. And so here we are, been sitting here all week, can't build anything because we don't have access to our own drawings and orders, and had to tell even our phone system didn't work because they went to a digital phone system. We got away from the landline, and I know most of us probably don't have a landline, and it all went down, and it really shows how vulnerable, you know, we are. You know, we've gotten away from the old ways, the standard ways of doing things, and went into this high tech, and sure, there's, you know, there's a lot of good things about it, but, you know, what happens? You know, what do we do now? You know, just like with the grid system, we want to go with the wind generators and the solar. Well, what happens when the wind don't blow and the sun don't shine? Well, yeah, I guess you sit in the dark.
That's right.
So, yeah, you know, so we got to be, learn to be a little self-sufficient.
Yes.
And it doesn't take much. And like you said, you know, some people, they have eggs. Well, here, we're not going to sell them to you. Just take them because we have so many.
Right, right. Well, and then, you know, what does that do? You know what I mean? That opens up an avenue of friendship. That opens up an avenue of, you know, so now the next time she calls for, hey, I'd like, you know, can you bring me 100 bales over or whatever it is? And she is wanting to get another load. You know, then, well, there's just a little more there than just a business transaction. And it's that way on both sides. It is. You know, we were, I mean, I support neighbors that have eggs. We do our best to do that. And it was, you know, it's a blessing to give. It's a blessing to be able to have an abundance and be able to share that. It is.
Sure.
And, you know, heck yeah. Heck yeah. And, and so it's good that we're seeing that. It really is.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. The last summer I was picking some cucumbers. You know how cucumbers grow, you know?
Yeah.
They're about 2 inches long one day, and the next day they're like 6-8 inches long. And I'm like, man, what am I going to do with all these cucumbers? And I have a wood, about a 6 foot high wood fence between the next door neighbor, and they're a new neighbor, and he's on the other side of the fence. I could hear him doing something, and I said, you know, I can't see him. I said, hey, would you like some cucumbers? And I just kind of filled up this little grocery bag full of cucumbers and just kind of handed it to him over the fence. He goes, hey, thanks. And we're just kind of talking back and forth through the fence, you know, and it's a great, you know, great way to bring up conversation and, you know, meet your new neighbors and build relationships. And
yes.
So I thought it was kind of neat. And,
Yeah, it is. It is. And we're seeing more and more of that. And that's a good thing. It is. It is because, you know, this nation was built on, one of the foundations of this nation is built on love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. You know, for Jesus to be able to summarize the law, you know, into two statements: love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated. And if we did that, oh my gosh, you know, what a place this would be.
Exactly.
And so when we see that, just like you're talking about, that it makes it night and day different than how this Babylonian world is. It really does. And it's not just, you know, cucumbers. It's not just a dozen eggs. It's, you know, whether it's some bread that's baked or, you know, whatever. Just, you know, sometimes just smiling and fellowshipping with people. It's a step. It's a step. And, you know, we need to be remnant. We need to be making those steps. You know, we can't sit back and say, well, I'm not trying to be bad, or I'm not trying to be a bad neighbor, or I'm not trying to, you know, we got to try. We've got to put
sure.
forth the effort. You know, we have to, the scripture talks about, we have to determine that this is what we're going to do. That we're going to love God. We're going to love our neighbor. We're going to make sure that when we have dealings with our neighbor, that we don't take advantage of him. That, you know, that we don't, you know, mistreat our neighbor. You know, this lady gave me a dozen eggs today, or yesterday, whenever it was I delivered them, you know. But I'm not going to let her give me another dozen eggs, you know. I let her have her blessing, right? In giving, it's better to give than receive. And so she got the greater blessing there, right? And she did. But, you know, I'm not going to take advantage of that. You know, if she's got eggs next time, I'll definitely buy them, you know. And I'll explain that to her, you know, that, hey, I it's greatly appreciated, but I'm not going to take advantage of that. And, I've got a neighbor across the street up here that's that way. Well, across the street, it's a mile and a half down the road and across the street. But, you know, we've gotten eggs from them, and she never wants to take money. And I tell her, listen, this is a great blessing being able to get these home, farm fresh, raised with love eggs. And you know, you're buying food, you're heating the hen house, you're paying for all that stuff. You know, let me be part of that. And you know, that blessing can go both ways, but you definitely don't want to take advantage of it.
Sure. And it's an opportunity to share a little bit of the gospel.
Oh, yeah. It is.
You know?
And, it is.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just how you act, you know? You don't have to quote Scripture. You don't have to quote Scripture. But you know, just being neighborly is so different than, again, this Babylonian world system of I got mine, get yours. You know, you see it, people that live next door that share like a walk or a sidewalk, and people shovel off their half of the snow, or they sweep off their half of the leaves. And it's like, you know, when you see that, I always try to, you know, share that with our children and say, hey, there's a good example of a bad example. So don't be that way, right?
Exactly.
But there's some people that they just don't think there's anything wrong with that. And they just live their life that way. And they miss out on so much, you know, thinking that adhering to this Babylonian system, just like those bankers that we talked about, Patrick, that you mentioned, you know, that got their stock sold in time or crashed the other bank to where their stock dropped 80%. So now they're buying $100 stock for $20, knowing that the other banks are going to bail them out, knowing that stock's going to go back up to $100 and they bought at 20. Well, man, there's some money made there. You know, don't worry about all the people that lost their money, but I made mine. And,
sure.
You know, Pastor he did a sermon years ago, and it was on that old, he talked about that old, Martin Sheen was in it, that old movie. I think it was called Wall Street. It's not the recent Wolf of Wall Street, but I think it was Wall Street.
Yep.
And it, you know, they tell you, we don't care if this business has 49 employees and most of them are fixing to retire and their pension is secure and sound and it'll carry them, all that, and they're doing great. We don't care about that. You know, we're going to come in and slice and dice and fire them all and crash the company. And then when the stock's down, our buddy over here is going to buy it at nothing, at micro pennies on the dollar. And then when it builds back up, we're all making money. We don't care about those other people. And they tell their story.
Sure.
And that's Babylon. That's Babylon. You know, Jason's mentioned, I don't know if it's in Jasher or where, but one of the other writings about when they were building the Tower of Babel, that human life was at the bottom of the, nobody cared. If a slave or somebody fell from the top and died, nobody even looked. But if you dropped a brick and a brick broke, oh man, you were in trouble. You can't, you know, and it was because it was the things that were more important than the people. And that's just the opposite of, you know, when we read here in Isaiah, that's just the opposite of what God did for us. You know, it says here at the end of Isaiah 53, he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. And, you know, the scriptures go on to say that greater love hath no man. The greatest love there is, the greatest love, is to lay down your life for your fellow man. I mean, isn't that what the scripture says?
Yep.
No greater love. Because that's what our God did for me and you.
Yep.
That's as great as it gets. You know, we think about how great we love our spouse, how great we love our children. You know, many people say, hey, if I knew grandchildren were this fun, I'd have had them first, right? It just doesn't work that way. I mean, there's a great love there. And you would gladly right? Gladly give your life if that's what you had to do. Because that's the greatest love there is. That's the love that our God has for us. And he even says many times throughout here, you know, that he doesn't even want the wicked to perish. You know? You know, I even think, yep. I know it wouldn't have happened, but, you know, if old Goliath would have said, hey there, little fella, little David, how can you be so confident in front of me? And David would have had an opportunity to say, well, you got to know my God who provides. And if Goliath would have said, well, tell me about it, things would have been different. And that would have been okay with God. Even though I think he was a creature of instinct created to be destroyed, and there's Goliaths in our land today. But God says he doesn't even want the wicked to perish, but to repent. To repent. And America, let me tell you, I love this country. I do. I you know, the old, you know, we bleed red, white, and blue. I mean, we do. But guess what? America's got to repent. America's got to repent or perish. It is that way for me. It's that way for my brother Patrick. It's that way for Jason. It's that way for President O'Biden. It's that way for Trump. It's that way for DeSantis. It's that way for all of us. It's repent or perish. There ain't but one way to the kingdom, one way to heaven, if that's how you think about it. And that is through Jesus Christ the Son. And that's it. There ain't no other way. There's no back door.
Nope. Heaven's got a border around it.
Oh, it's got a wall, doesn't it? It's got a wall, huh?
Yeah. It's not an all-inclusive club.
No.
You know.
Not at all. Well, Patrick, buddy, thanks for calling. We're out of time tonight.
You bet.
Sure good catching up with you. And you know, Remnant, I hope you see that we can't be fearful, and that, you know, again, this banking crash, it's another birth pang of their demise.
Right.
So, well, Patrick, thanks, brother. God bless, and you and your family have a great evening and a good St. Patrick's Day tomorrow and a great weekend.
Yeah, God bless you.
All right, thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Well, Remnant, thank you for tuning in. We are out of time. I want to remind you, this weekend are 91st days, the solar year of 2022, year-ending solar days, 2 days. Monday is the spring equinox that starts the new solar year as spring starts. And 14 days later, Abib, or in Abib, that starts Abib. 14 days later, Passover on April 2nd. And so we've got that in the newsletter. I think people are getting it already. Going to do my best to get that online newsletter out in the morning. We're finishing up the order form, and I'll get it to Jason. He can get it mailed out to all of you, but just did want to remind you of that. And so we're hoping to have an early, a little earlier Passover service on Sunday, April 2nd, 6 o'clock Mountain, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock on the West Coast, at scriptures4america.org. So we hope you'll join us and for our Passover service. And before then, hey, Saturday morning, be here, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. Again, 6 a.m. for the West Coast for Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll be here and hope you can join us. Thanks again for tuning in. God bless.
King Saul on his trail, David hastily flees, with a handful of followers Saul wants to seize. He pursues them through passes of rugged vines, with his weapons of war and his speed and his wiles. He gets closer and closer, yet David still smiles. As the hand of old Saul seems to close on his prey, David turns to the skies and cries, Lord, lead the way. Just as word comes of armies invading the land, and King Saul has to turn back, and we understand how the Lord rescued David as he had it planned.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.